Pence is left to shoulder an increased financial burden as Governor Mike Dunleavy line item vetoes school bond debt reimbursement. And paddlers from the Upper Lynn Canal place well in the world's longest annual paddling race. Those stories and more are up next. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strempel. Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed half of the state's contribution towards debt service for school projects. In Haines, that's a $450,000 shortfall. Alaska's school bond debt reimbursement program provides state money to offset the cost of building new schools. Though there's a moratorium on new projects, the state has been continuing payments for older ones, such as the $17 million in bonds the Haynesboro took out to pay for construction of a new school in 2005. Governor Michael Dunleavy's original budget eliminated state assistance entirely. Last Friday, he line item vetoed half that funding. His justification? It's a necessary cut to pay out a full permanent dividend fund check to Alaskans. But that leaves communities to make up the difference. In the Upper Lynn Canal, the largest impacts will be in Haines, with a $450,000 reduction. Skagway's school building went up in 1985 and is paid in full. Haines School Administration is concerned about the cost shift from the bond to the borough.
We're just very cautious at this point.
Roy Getchell is Haynesboro School District Superintendent. He says that while the governor is still working to cut spending, he is still concerned with providing quality education in the Upper Lynn Canal.
It's a one step at a time. You know, we're going to work hard to ensure that our kids are not affected, and we're going to open on time, ready to go, and work with our community, work with our borough, work with our legislators to do what's best for kids. And that, you know, hopefully that'll also be with the executive branch.
In Haines, the municipality will make up the difference by dipping into its reserves. The assembly considered raising property taxes in case the governor cut this program, but passed the FY20 budget with a set mill rate. They reasoned that municipal reserves are healthy enough to absorb the potential cost. The reserves are currently about $2.8 million. Borough Manager Deborah Schnabel says the cut will affect municipal employees as well.
The impact of the 50% cut to the employees of the borough is also considerable.
The majority of municipal employees in Haines are unionized. They stood to receive a wage increase of 1.9% this year. That will be cut to 1%. The borough will save $22,000 across about 60 employee salaries. That wage reduction will be an amendment to the FY20 budget. Paddlers from Haines and Skagway placed well in the Yukon River Quest this year. Known as the Race to the Midnight Sun, the Quest is the world's longest annual paddling race. It runs 444 miles from Whitehorse to Dawson City. Stephanie Ryan of Skagway and her team, the Wild Irises, placed second in the Women's Voyager Class Canoe category. With their four-person team, Tim Hawken of Haines and Sam Best of Skagway also came in second in their canoe class. Paddlers completed the four-day race this weekend. The U.S. Forest Service is reminding people in Southeast Alaska that fireworks are banned on national forest lands at all times and to be careful with campfires as dry weather continues. Officials are cautioning forest users that dry weather makes fireworks more dangerous this summer. The region continues to experience drought conditions, with southern Southeast under a severe drought. Haines Volunteer Fire Chief Al Giddings says to be careful this fire season.
No, at this point, we are looking at a very active fire season, and we're asking our citizens, and most people in Haines are very fire conscious, to be very careful, call in all your fire burns if you're going to burn on your property, and there should be a way to extinguish or control the fire should it get away from them in their yards, and never hesitate to call 911 as opposed to, oh, I think I can control this. Don't ever hesitate to call 911, at least we'll be on our way.
He says the fire season started back in May. The fire department has already responded to several calls where small burns of household garbage got out of control and ignited local yards.
Even though it appears it was very wet and it's early on in the season, we're barely out of winter. So yes, the conditions for uncontrollable wildfire is very ripe. So even though it appears that things are wet, we're in a full-on fire season at this point.
Regionally, a lightning strike started a fire on June 27th at Southeast Cove on the southern end of Wrangell Island. That blaze is relatively small, about a quarter acre. Paul Robbins Jr. is a spokesman for the Forest Service in Ketchikan. Robbins says it's burning in steep, inaccessible terrain, and the Forest Service will monitor it from the air. While this blaze started with a lightning strike, the Forest Service says over 95% of wildfires in Southeast are caused by people, most by unattended campfires. Those are recommended in designated campfire rings whenever possible. Campers are reminded to make sure fires are completely out and to keep water or a shovel nearby. The agency also reminds people celebrating July 4th that violating the fireworks ban on national forest land can bring a fine of up to $5,000 or up to 6 months in jail. Meanwhile, across the border in British Columbia, fire danger has reached high or extreme levels in parts of northern BC, and the BC Wildfire Service reports finding holdover fires around Telegraph Creek, around 160 miles up the Stikine River from Wrangell. That community was forced to evacuate last summer when wildfires burned out of control. These holdover fires smoldered underground over the winter and restarted with warmer, drier weather. A number have been discovered since April of this year, and most have been extinguished. Smoky conditions persist in the Upper Lynn Canal and across Southeast Alaska. Brian Besnick is with the Juneau office of the National Weather Service.
There have been numerous forest fires in the interior of the state and in Northwest Canada, and we've just had a sort of a continuous northerly flow from that direction, and the smoke just finally permeated into the northern part of the panhandle at the higher altitudes.
Smoky conditions persist. There's still a forecast of showers on Tuesday evening. This is your KHNS Local News. I'm Claire Strumpel. Thanks for joining us. You can hear these stories and more on our website at khns.org or follow the podcast on Stitcher or NPR One.